You're listening to All Things Considered on VPR. I'm Henry Epp. The emerald ash borer, an invasive species known for causing devastation to millions of ash trees around the country, has now been found in two more counties in Vermont, following its first appearance in Orange County in late February. Ash trees make up 5% of Vermont's forests. So if you have ash trees on your property, what should you do now? To talk about this, I'm joined by Michael Snyder, Vermont's Commissioner of Forests, Parks, and Recreation. Michael, welcome.
Thank you.
So some landowners might have the idea that they should cut down all their ash trees to control spreading, which is understandable because the likelihood of an ash tree dying after it's been infested is pretty high. What do you say to that idea, though?
Well, it certainly is understandable, as you suggest. I think it's very clear from evidence in the other states that have experienced this for over a decade now, it would be a mistake to cut all one's ash trees. That said, I think it's reasonable also to say it's not wise to not cut any of them. So let's get to the more logical place somewhere in between those two.
Okay. And so how long does a tree have to live after it's been infested with the ash borer?
Experience suggests that an infested tree will die within 3 to 5 years of infestation.
So if you have an infested tree on your land and you know it's there, you know it's going to go in a few years, what's the next step? Should you plan to cut it right then or treat it? Or what's the best way to go about it?
Well, what we'd suggest is now's the time with having documented the infestation in central Vermont. Remember, it's in all states and provinces around us too. So it's not just this isolated occurrence within the center of our state. We're trying to ascertain the extent of that infestation. That's really important for now because that helps us give guidance. The closer the infestation is to one's woodland, then the higher risk for infestation and subsequent mortality. But for parts of the state that are away from an infestation, there's really no reason to do anything now. So what we would instead say is, let's determine the extent, and then once we have that, make that known to folks. We can refine the guidance. And if your trees, your ash trees, are close to an infestation within a few miles, then the time is now to start planning for how to mitigate. And if your only interest is in the real economic value that does exist in certainly in white ash trees, then we would suggest the trees that are the largest trees nearing the end of their sort of the peak of their economic maturity, then it makes sense to salvage the economic value of those trees before it's lost. But not all trees are equally susceptible. So, and we have seen in other states that even in heavily infested places, some ash trees survive. That suggests a really important possibility for resistance, a genetic heritable resistance. We want to capitalize on that. So it's important to keep some ash in the mix.
So, I mean, for someone who's maybe a little bit farther from the high-risk areas, is it sort of a matter of waiting, and dealing with your trees one by one as the infestation gets closer?
Well, a little of both. I mean, it is a matter of waiting, I think, and being a wise person recently said, no need to be rash with your ash. So waiting, but also one by one is not really practical. So we encourage folks to take stock, understand how much ash do you have in your woodland? Where is it? What is its condition? That's part of a good inventory and forest management plan, and we encourage people to take stock. If you're planning some harvesting anyway, then sure, there's ash trees that are part of the mix that would make some sense to harvest now if you're farther away from the infestation. And then importantly, we have silvicultural techniques and management guidance that would enhance the prospects for what we call regeneration, that is, seed-producing ash trees that drop seed that can then germinate and become ash seedlings for the future. Because we're trying to buy time. That's why it's so important to limit the spread and movement of the insect, principally by limiting the spread of wood and firewood in particular, so that developing control mechanisms can come our way. For example, even in nearby New Hampshire, who's dealt with this a little bit longer, recently, there's been released a wasp that's parasitic to the emerald ash borer that could be really helpful, a biocontrol. We want to buy time for the emergence of these kind of techniques. Maybe we can live through the first wave of emerald ash borer infestation and then have seedlings in the understory that once we pass through this first phase can grow up to be healthy ash trees in a time when we have other control mechanisms.
So for landowners that might have infected ash on their property or are close to infected infested ash, what should they do with the wood of a tree that has been infested? Is that okay to burn? Is it okay to move other healthier ash trees that they might harvest at this point?
It is okay to burn and use, and that may be one of the best things to do with infested wood, certainly, because the insect is a flying beetle that its larvae tunnel in underneath the bark and interrupt the vascular system of the tree. That's what kills it. And when you cut the tree down and move it in any parts of it, the larvae are in there, and then you're just giving them a ride to someplace else and spreading it. So burning it on site makes a lot of sense because that reduces the population.
Michael Snyder is Vermont's Commissioner of Forests, Parks, and Recreation. Michael, thanks for speaking with me.
Thank you.